Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. God's people, the Lord's people on the Lord's day. Gathered here on the Lord's day. I was thinking about that as we were singing. This is the Lord's day. We have the Lord's word. We're with God's people on the Lord's day, trusting him for his Holy Spirit. What better place could we be? Amen. Can't think of a better place to be than with God's people, with his word, on the Lord's day, seeking his face together, hearing his voice on every line, making each faithful saying mine. What a privilege today. What a privilege today. I'm blessed to think about the family today. That's the topic given to me to speak on, or I guess I also chose it as far as that goes. But the family, it's a very plain title, the family. And I was so blessed sitting here and seeing so many families sitting together, whole sections, some with even grandparents sitting there. That's a blessing. Amen. We should be jealous of that and never lose that family attitude, that family spirit, that family heart. I believe it's very close to God. I was thinking about some of the Old Testament settings when they would gather. In many places it talks about gathering together with the women and children and little ones. Amen. That's not a little thing. Gathering together with the women and children and men and little ones. And even Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Let's never lose sight of that. Family is very precious to God. Very precious indeed. Family, a circle of relatives. Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Our children that sit with us today are an heritage, a gift from the Lord. And then Malachi 2:15 says, "God seeks for himself a godly seed." So it appears that God gives us these children to teach and to train and to bring up for him. Ephesians 6 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." God says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Are you getting the picture that God likes families? "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6:18. I would think it's right to say today there is no greater joy to the Christian father and the Christian mother than for their children to walk in truth. Amen? I'm sure many of you didn't get in your vehicles and travel 8-10 hours or more to come here just for the anyhows of it, but I'm sure there was a burden burning in your heart for your family, to put you and yourselves under the influence of the Spirit of God. and allow yourselves and your family to be blessed and challenged and touched by the Spirit of God among the people of God. Well, I would think if it's no greater joy to a Christian father and mother for their children to walk in truth, then it would follow that the most important thing that any father or mother could do is to walk in truth themselves. We need to walk in truth ourselves. Family life is school life. Children learn by looking, by watching, by observing. They learn by listening, by sensing. Home is a classroom. Dad and mom are the teachers. Dad and mom's actions are the object lessons that our children learn without us even trying, maybe. Dad and mom walking in the truth. Dad's the leader. Mom's the supporter. Both are devoted to God. Both are devoted to the church. Both are devoted to raising their children for the Lord. Family. Near to the heart of God. Well, my mind kept going back to Brother David Mast's message. For those of you that are here this morning, for those of you that were here yesterday and heard that message, particularly on the part where he talked about the flood of evil coming upon God's people and how Satan is out to overwhelm God's people. And so I'd like to carry that thought through this morning a bit. I'd like to look at a biblical example of a family that made it through the flood. The flood of evil. And I'd like to draw strength from that family. But before we do that, I would like to pray again. Father, we thank you for this day, this Lord's day. This is your day, God. Here we are gathered together, a much larger group than we normally would gather on a Sunday morning, Lord, but this is special. We call these special meetings, fellowship meetings, meetings where people travel from a distance to be encouraged and challenged and find answers for their needs and their families, Lord, and I'm sure family life is the overriding burden among this group today. Needs in our marriages, needs in our families, needs in our churches. Oh, that we could find answers today for these needs, dear God. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to meet those needs, oh God, to minister to those needs, Lord, to reveal, to give revelation to our hearts in the areas of needs that we have, God. For without you, we can do nothing, God. We need you, God, we implore you. We need strong families, Lord, to stand against the flood that is upon your people, God. Oh, Father, we know that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, dear God, so there is hope. Amen, God. We thank you for that promise this morning. But I just pray, Lord, it takes more than words this morning, God. I pray, reveal by your Spirit. Meet the needs of our hearts, God. Let us go home with answers, Father. Let us go home with visions, new visions and inspirations, Lord. Let us go home with having repentance in our hearts, Lord, towards our spouses, towards our children, Lord. Let us go home, Father, in humility. For God, it says, you give grace to the humble. How we need grace these days, oh God. I pray for each head of the home here today, God. Each father, each daddy. God, I pray that we could rise up to the challenge. For this, Lord, we need your help, oh God. I plead with you, Lord. Perhaps there's some fathers here that are weary and their hands are hanging down and the way seems hopeless. Lord, I pray you would give them hope, God. Perhaps there's a father here that is hurting deeply. Minister to that heart today, dear God. Minister to that heart, Lord. Maybe he's failed and no one knows it. Maybe he's failed and many know it, God, but I pray you would support him. You would lift him up, Father. You would bless the heads of the homes today, God. You would minister to the dads, Father. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, Father, pity us today. We need your pity, dear God, for we are a needy people, Lord. I ask you for grace to speak the word of God here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know it's bad today. It's very bad and getting worse. Sin is becoming more out and open than what it was years ago. And technology, of course, is just rushing in upon us as families. Our homes are meant to be a shelter, a haven, a safe haven from the influences of the world. That, my dear brothers and sisters and fathers, is being challenged today like never before. But there was a day that the Bible says the earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God saw that the imaginations, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, speaking of man there. And I used to work on the construction crew years ago, and even back then it seemed like some of these guys, all they could think of was evil and corruption. But here it says that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Peter says it like this. He says, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Adam Clark describes it like this: a whole human race without God, without any pure worship or rational religion. God brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Only one family, Noah and his sons and their wives, found grace in the sight of God. That was bad. Amen. That was very bad. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was a just man, righteous and perfect, entire, a man of integrity in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. You may open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews this morning, the 11th chapter, where we have a little verse with a lot of meat in it for us this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, is the family that I would like to talk about this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah heard from God. Point number one, Noah heard from God. Noah, having heard from God, was, I believe, one of the major reasons why he was saved from the judgment of God. Imagine if Noah wouldn't have heard from God. How important was it, my brothers and sisters, this morning, that Noah heard from God? Very important. How is it with you, my brother, this morning? I'm going to probably mostly focus on the dads this morning. How is it with you, my brother? Do you hear from God? Do you hear from God? The flood, as we heard yesterday, is upon us. Judgment is coming. We know that. This world will not be overthrown with water, but with fire. Fathers, the question this morning is, are we hearing from God? This was one of the main reasons Noah saved his family. He was able to hear from God. And I want to bring this thing down from way up there in the skies where some people think this thing is. I think this thing of hearing from God needs to be down here where we live. I think we need to come to grips with this, fathers. All of us fathers need to hear from God. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of masses, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of the campaign," amen, "is with us." When was the last time, my dear brother, that God revealed that to you, that God is the Lord of hosts? He is the Lord of the campaign, the Christian campaign. That's our God. He is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, is our cliff, or some other lofty and inaccessible place. Dearly beloved, every father here today, every family here today needs a father, a husband that hears from God. We all need that. Every family, those little children that sit beside you with eternal souls, that wife, that gift from God that sits beside you this morning that gave you your that row of children, she needs a man that hears from the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we live in noisy times, don't we? We live in noisy times. There's so many things bombarding our hearts, our heads, our ears, demands, needs, distractions. But the Bible challenges us, be still and know that I am God. My dear father, brother, this morning, when was the last time you took 2 days off and got alone with God? When was the last time that you stilled your heart before the Lord, God Almighty, the God of hosts? When was the last time? When was the last time that you stilled your heart before God Jehovah? Oh, but you don't understand, Elvin. Not me. Yes, you need it. And God is no respecter of persons. And he loves those children beside you. And he loves that wife beside you. And he has an interest in your family. He's looking for a godly seed. And he wants to be your father. When was the last time you got alone with God for 2 days and stilled your noisy, busy, overwhelmed heart and heard from God? Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." Let me give you a little secret here, brothers, at least as I found it. This is a process. In order to get through to God, it takes a burden. We need to come to grips with things that, we need to come to grips with that things are not like they should be. And there needs to be a burden rising up in our hearts that we can call out to God. It takes effort. We need to go and pray. It takes time. We need to seek God. It takes perseverance. We got lots of resistance when you're seeking God. It takes devotion. I've got to get through to God. I found it for me about a half a day of just being distracted, having a hard time to stay focused and connecting with God. And so I start by finding precious promises in the Word of God of how God worked miracles and parted Red Seas and did things that seemed much bigger than my problems. And I pray these big things back to God. I say, "God, look what you did here. Won't you please do this for me and meet my needs?" And it takes me about a half a day, 4 or 5 hours of wrestling and pressing in till my heart is still before the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. God wants that for every father here. Every father here. I'm sure. I'm sure of that. Noah heard from God. Do you? Do you? Matthew 7:7, Jesus taught us, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh and keeps on asking, receiveth. And he that seeketh and keeps on seeking, findeth. And to him that knocks and keeps on knocking, it shall be open." Glory, hallelujah. The presence, the Spirit, the revelation, the comfort. He is the God of comfort. It wasn't that long ago, just a testimony of mine here, that I was just feeling overwhelmed and out of gas and at the bottom, and I'm not going to make it. Seriously. Lord, I can't make it. I need the second wind, I prayed. God, please. And I know I don't do this near as much as I should, but out of desperation, because I was beginning to feel hopeless, I spent 2 days alone with God. And I didn't hear God's voice, and I didn't see any visions, but all of a sudden, God became big. As I thought about his promises, as I thought on his word, as I thought on his mighty acts, God became big and my problems became small. And he was God. And I was encouraged. Every father needs that. Every wife is waiting for her man to do that. I'm sure this morning, you want to bless your wife? Get a hold of God. It's your duty, my brother. It's our responsibility. The flood is ever getting worse. Judgment is coming. Will my ship float? Am I building an ark? Will my children follow me into the ark? This is bigger than me. Amen. Noah heard from God and built an ark to the saving of his house. And we can too. And I'm sure this morning that every father wants that reality. Right? My family in the ark when the fire falls. My family with God when judgment comes. Well, God is no respecter of persons this morning. Number two. Now Noah, having heard from God, he believed God. He heard from God and he believed God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah moved to action. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. For whatsoever is born of God, in your heart, for whatsoever is born of God, Brother Ron, overcometh the world. Dearly beloved, we need that revelation, that rhema word from God. If we only hear with our physical ears, it's not enough. We need that thing which is born of God to overcome the world. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Every family here today needs a daddy that knows what it is to have things born of God upon his heart. A vision of holiness. A vision of a godly family. A vision, a word from the Lord. A warning. Born of God. And have that thing born of God upon his heart. Begets faith. It produces faith. I tell you that families, that family that has a father that gets something that is born of God, that family is going to go places. Because when there is a living, vibrant faith, born from God, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's more than these ears. That's hearing with the heart. And having this burden for a godly family, for my children to be saved, born upon my heart, and move me to action. And point number three, God prepared an ark. Noah prepared an ark. Noah heard from God, and because Noah heard from God, he believed God, and he went and he prepared an ark. Noah not only heard from God, Noah not only believed God, Noah got to work and prepared the ark. And I'm going to suggest here, as I pondered on this verse, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I believe it's true that Noah, first of all, the first thing that Noah did when God revealed this great job to him, the first thing he did was the most loving And the most godly thing that any concerned husband and father would do. And some of us, for sure me, has made a mistake on this one. But I suggest that Noah went home from his prayer time with God and he told his wife. He told his wife, "The Lord told me to build an ark because judgment is coming and he's going to destroy the whole world. Every living thing that is not in this ark is going to perish. We're going to have to build an ark that holds two of every kind of animal. The Lord told me this." I think every wife here deserves a husband like that. That first shares these things with his wife and gives her time to process this. I'd say this was pretty big, wasn't it? An ark? What's that? Rain? What's that? Well, they knew that it was a bad time in the world. Things were very bad. And Peter says, going back to my point of sharing things with our wives, first of all, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If Noah ever needed his prayers not hindered, it was now. Amen. He needed a full support. He needed to be on the same team. And I venture to say that he did it right. Every wife here deserves a husband that, before he sets off to fulfill his vision, sits down with his wife and gives her the honor of knowing. And the time to process the information. And then as heirs together of the grace of life, the project begins. Here, I believe, many of us have failed. You know, we get these aspirations and dreams and visions, and we take off running, and we leave our wives in the dust. We don't take the time to share with them and bring them along and have them to be an heir with us of the grace of life and support us and counsel us. Our wives are some of the best, our best counselors. That's a nugget. That's one to take home. And I'm going to suggest here that Noah did the same thing with his sons. This was a family project. They all sat together. This is what we're going to do. There's some cost that we got to count here. We're going to be not popular. Amen? We're not going to be popular. Are you ready, boys? We're going to be scoffed at. We're going to be poked fun at. Are you ready, family? Let's go! And if he was anything like Abraham, they started the next day. Because you all know if you let these visions rest too long, they go away, don't they? Well, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, blessed, blessed Noah. I'm sure any father in here would love his name here with Noah. By faith, Dan, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I can put every father's name in here. By faith, so-and-so. Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, blessed, blessed Noah. We're talking family here. He tried to bring others in. He preached for 120 years. Peter calls him the preacher of righteousness. He didn't get any of those, but he got his family. Oh, blessed, blessed fruits and rewards of Noah's faith. See the floods coming down. See the waters coming up. See the population running for higher ground. See them banging on the ark to maybe get in yet. Oh, blessed, blessed fruit and rewards of Noah's faith. It came because Noah heard from the Lord. It came because Noah believed God. It came because he put his faith to actions. That ark floated because Noah heard from God. Oh, blessed, blessed wife of Noah, to have such a God-fearing, God-believing husband. Oh, blessed, blessed sons of Noah, to have such a righteous father. And there's many sons here today. Who is going to take 2 days and get alone with God and still his heart and build his ark to save his family in this our day? The flood is upon us. The evil is coming. It's not going to get any better. Who's going to climb up on that cliff and see God for who he is? The Lord of hosts, the big God, Jehovah God, that is no respecter of persons. Oh, blessed, blessed sons of Noah, to have such a righteous father. Oh, blessed, blessed daughter-in-laws of Noah, to have such a father-in-law that found grace in the eyes of God. The question that comes to you, Father, and me, who or will I be that man? Noah feared God and had faith in God. Sorry, Noah's fear of God and his faith in God moved him to action and saved him and his house, his family, and it says condemned the world. How did Noah condemn the world? Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. How did Noah condemn the world? Noah condemned the world because he gave credit to God. He believed that he trusted God. They did not. The world did not. Every family in here this morning needs a dad that credits God, that credits God's word, that sees this word not as a book of fables, but as the word of the living God. Precious promises that Hebrews 11 says you and I can receive by faith. Every family here this morning needs a dad that gives credit to God's word, that fears and trembles at this book, that reads and talks about the judgments of God and the blessings of God. The question this morning to the dads, do I credit God? Do you credit God? He is the same. He has not changed. Noah condemned the world because he walked in the way that God had commanded him. He obeyed God. It's becoming obsolete to obey God. Everyone can do that which is right in their own eyes these days and tack on a little Jesus on their life. But I venture to say that boat isn't going to float. But Noah condemned the world because he obeyed God. They, the world, did not. Noah was different. Noah was just. And he was righteous. Noah obeyed God's commandments. Every family here this morning deserves a dad that because he obeys God, he is different than society around him. Dad is humble. The world is proud. Dad is honest. The world is not. Dad is genuine. Not everyone is. Even in the church, hypocrites. But Noah was genuine. Dad is respected. Dad is all this because he knows this world is under judgment, and he lives like this because he is preparing an ark to the saving of his house. Every family here this morning needs a dad like that. Noah condemned the world because he repeatedly admonished and preached to them, and they regarded it not. They heard him not. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. Dearly beloved, let us never forget Noah's words and his... Noah preached words and warnings, but his actions preached the loudest of all. The ark, I'm sure, was the rumor of the day. Did you hear that, Noah? Did you see that ark? He must be crazy. Noah preached to them words, but he kept right on building that ark. Not influenced, thrown off course by those around him. Just kept building away, preaching with his actions. 120 years. Every family here this morning deserves a daddy that has true actions and backs up his words with convictions and is willing to be a little different if he needs to be. Maybe old-fashioned, if you will. Because judgment is coming. Fashion isn't going to matter on that day. The fashion, everything that was important that day didn't matter. It all went under. The only thing that mattered that day that you were in the boat. What matters today? Fashion, fads, peer pressure. Judgment is coming. It's going to burn. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of that wants to come upon us. Oh my. Number five, he became heir of the righteousness. He became entitled to that justification which is by faith. Noah, glory, Noah. He was justified, if you will. His temporal or physical deliverance was a pledge of the salvation of his soul. Noah and his family will be in heaven. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness which is by faith. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. After all, that's what we all want. Amen. These meetings, they're all about not missing heaven. And in the process, if we can pick up a few strangers along the way, so be it. But first and foremost, it's the family. That's God's will. And if you're here this morning and you have failed and your family is not that way, God bless you. And if your children are still alive, there's hope. Believe God. It's all about heaven. It's all about being in the ark when the fire falls. Being with God. Being with Jesus. That's what it's all about this morning. There's lots and lots of pressure upon us, upon the families. But let's just put all those things aside and look down the road when God comes. What is all those things going to matter? Let's really make sure that we are heirs of the righteousness. Turn with me to Revelation here, 19. And we're going to wind up here real soon. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Heir of righteousness. Verse 5. Well, let's do verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. Dearly beloved, let's start now. Amen. Every father needs to go and get alone and worship his God. And then we worship him together, because in heaven they worship God. They fall down on their faces, the 24 elders, and worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. He is worthy, amen. Give him an amen this morning. He is worthy. Amen. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Children, hallelujah. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Going to make this crowd look like nothing. But it's great to be here. This is a great crowd. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We can win if we get on the right side of God. If we can get God on our side, we'll make it. Because he is the Lord God omnipotent, and he reigneth. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted, this is a verse I was aiming for, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Noah, it says, became heir of righteousness. Noah is going to have this fine linen put on him. His sons are going to have put on this fine linen. His wife and his sons' wives. And oh, for all the families here. Oh, fathers, every family here deserves a father who will prepare his family to become heirs of righteousness. Don't wait on the preacher. He helps. But do your part. Get a hold of God. Do your part. And he saith unto me, Write. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. Let's go for it, fathers. Amen. Let's go for it. Make the schedule. Make the time. Your wife needs it. Your children need it. Your church needs it. Your preacher needs it. For you to hear from God. Not so you get your own special revelation, so you can, you know, throw your weight around. That's not at all what I'm talking about. Because I believe that everything that is truly from God will be for the edification of the family, for the edification of the church, amen? And it will build her up. Fathers, let's go for it. God bless.